We got people texting in trying to pitch their t-shirts to us.
Oh, yeah?
I still think we need to do a clothing line for the Fan Morning Show.
Yes. Well.
Brings the ruckus.
Yeah.
That kind of deal.
With a pocket.
Oh, it needs a pocket. Needs a pocket. We can't just have shirts that say brings the ruckus without the pocket.
You could put your Zins in pockets.
Oh!
Yes.
Look at this, the shirt. I think it's a Goodfellow shirt. It comes with a Zin pouch.
See, now we're cooking.
It's amazing.
Now we're cooking.
Oh.
We should put it on the side, like at the lower
that
part.
Doesn't look good.
No?
Nah, it looks like I'm an A cup. Let's take that one out of the pocket there. So the Buccos lose last night. Sounded like this.
Pitch popped up right field along the line. Long run for Frelick. He's there. He's got it. 9-0 Brewers, the final.
And then he would say on the Pirates Radio Network, brought to you by Icy Light, because Joe Block, I have picked up that the more the Pirates lose, the more angsty he gets, and the shorter the final calls are. And that'll do it for the Buccos tonight. They lose 9-0 in Milwaukee. Post-game show next on the Pirates Radio Network, brought to you by Icy Light. Just bang, out. Mm-hmm. Where if the Pirates win, he's orgasmic, and it'll go for 37 seconds, and then he wants to give a little coup de grace, and then you've got the color commentator who comes in and wants to give a little analysis, and it's like, oh, we're doing a post-game show before the post-game show. It was frustrating last night, because, Doran, you called this. This team has not won 3 consecutive games since May 6th. They haven't lost 3 consecutive games since May 10th. They scored 12 runs in Game 1 against Milwaukee, something that they haven't done historically, win by that margin in that ballpark. And then the next day, they don't score a run.
Crazy.
These two games, like no joke, these two games, we made a lot of jokes today. These two games, microcosm of the Pirates season. It's like, this is what it is. Holy cow, they're back. They're scoring runs. They hit 5 home runs. Are they turning the corner? No, of course not, because they don't have enough dudes in the lineup to win consistently. But they don't have bad enough pitching to lose consistently. And it's a really bad place to be. And not to take this in a totally different direction, Doran, but this is kind of where all of our sports teams are right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Just the epitome of...
Yeah. The gray area.
Yes. Or the slightly purple area.
Yes. That. For colorblind people.
Yeah. It's just very frustrating. And so we're watching last night, and Martin Perez, you know, he's trying to gut through it. And he was really good early. He's not been good prior to the injuries, couple starts before it, and then the few starts he's had after. And we've agreed we'd like to see the Pirates add before the deadline, but he makes $8 million. You're not going to get a huge return for him. But he's one of the guys that I would try to offload. He's on a 1-year deal. I'm sure someone needs a little pitching depth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he could be a bullpen arm, as he was for the Rangers on the way to the World Series last year. I'm trying to move that guy, I think.
You're just in a tough spot. Like, I mean, who's going to really want that? You're not going to get anything.
Maybe cash considerations, player to be named, something like that.
Why wouldn't you keep him for your bullpen?
That's an interesting thought. The way I look at it is, you've got Luis Ortiz. What Quinn Priester did against Milwaukee the other night was really impressive. You're going to have Marco Gonzalez coming back. Bailey Falter will come back. Jared Jones is going to be part of the plans this season. It might take him 6 weeks or something like that, because they're absolutely, and they should be,
yeah,
really careful with that guy. But they've got bodies. And then you've got Ashcraft, who I think could make a play maybe in September to be on this roster. They've got a lot of pitching depth in that rotation. Coming into the year, I didn't know that to be true. You've got Oviedo for next year.
Yeah.
I just think if you are trying to add, and the John Parado article says that the front office doesn't feel like they've got money to add, someone's going to buy low on this dude, not give up anything in return, but you'd be moving prorated $8 million off the books. If you're looking to add, that would be one way to add while you're also subtracting. You're not going to get anything for him,
right?
But the salary that you could then bring in another deal, I think it would be helpful for them.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. You just know what you're going to get out of this team at this point. Like, if you, even if you accrue salary by moving on from Perez, like, you know, who are they going to get?
Well,
know, with that salary.
And some of the guys that they've been linked to, like Taylor Ward, and we'll get into that later. There was a good old-fashioned source off yesterday. Paul Zeiss, the Pirates are circling around this guy. And then you had Robert Murray, one of these national dudes. They're not even close on this deal. Well, the guys you've heard are like J.J. Bleda for the A's, an upgrade. Guys like, again, Taylor Ward, an upgrade. But we're talking about $750,000 players who are going to hit arbitration. Do you really need to move a Martin Perez to facilitate that kind of deal? No, you do not. No, you do not. I guess what's really frustrating, though, is I'm watching Rhys Hoskins play. We're all watching Rhys Hoskins play yesterday, and he has not had a great season. His numbers are actually, he's hit more home runs, but his numbers are fairly comparable, actually, to Rowdy Tellez's. But he makes $17 million. And the Pirates in Martin Perez and Aroldis Chapman have $18.5 million tied up. And Martin Perez has not really helped the team. And Aroldis Chapman, sometimes he goes out there and he throws 104 and he's lights out. And you're like, oh my God, the other team doesn't have a chance. And then the next time out, he's going to walk four guys.
Right.
You can get that for a lot less than $10.5 million. And so people want to come down on the owner, and I totally understand that. That's fair. It's how we've been conditioned as Pirates fans. But with the money that Ben Cherington has had to spend, I don't think he's done a particularly good job of spreading that money around.
And, like, I get it. Like, you're going to hit on some players, and you're not going to hit on some players. And Tellez looks like it's a good decision, you know, up in, you know, right now. There was a time where it didn't look like a good decision. But this is where it all comes down to, as we kind of alluded to yesterday, is the offseason. Like, making the right moves, the appropriate moves, and knowing if guys are going to pan out or not. Like, the Perez's of the world, like, did you really think that he was going to be a big piece to your puzzle of your window so-called being open? Like, come on, what are we doing? You're paying $8 million for just a guy. He was just a guy, like, in my opinion. Like, go get a real dude.
Yes.
Go get a real dude in the offseason, because then you wouldn't be in situations like this. We wouldn't be trying to, you know, offload contracts to save some money to hopefully get an upgrade. Like, that's just where I'm at. Like, I feel like they didn't do a great job this offseason of surrounding this team with the appropriate talent.
Are we missing an obvious thing right in our face? Just listening to you go through that, one-year deal, Aroldis Chapman. One-year deal, Martin Perez. Marco Gonzalez, I think, is just 1 year on this deal. Rowdy Tellez, we're watching the replay on Sportsnet Pittsburgh right now, who just hit his let-get-out double. One-year deal. The plan all along probably was, we'll see with Skeens what he looks like. We'll see when he comes up. We think Jared Jones could be good. They didn't expect him to be this good. We think Bailey Falter can be good. They definitely didn't expect him to be this good. They didn't expect to be really in contention, I don't think.
Which is a shame.
It's a damn shame. And with all of these one-year deals, because they've had some success, you flip Vogelbach and you wind up getting Colin Holderman. You flip Jose Quintana and you wind up getting Johan Oviedo. Aroldis Chapman last year gets moved off the Royals to the Rangers, and the Rangers ship a lefty starter who winds up being an all-star this year. And I'm wondering if Cherington thought, let's spend the $10.5 million on Aroldis Chapman when relief help is in desperate need at the deadline. Oh, the idea all along is we're going to trade that guy.
Yeah.
The idea all along is we're going to trade Rowdy Tellez. The idea all along is we're going to trade Perez or Marco Gonzalez, whichever one of those guys performs better. And they went into this offseason just thinking, all right, what can we get to hopefully open a window and start a window, not with these guys, but with what these guys could bring back and trade
for a later time?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a terrible mindset, I think.
Yeah.
It's a terrible mindset. Like, it should be win now. I mean, you should be able to try to do both. I get it. But, like, that's a terrible mindset because Everybody's thinking that the window's open now, and it somewhat is. And you're proving, and you're looking around the division, like that's not doing the research, the appropriate research of what teams are going to be this year either. Because, like, everybody's in a big pile right now.
Great point.
And, like, if your mindset is down the road, like, how can you even know that you're going to last that long as a general manager or in a manager?
Jerry Jones is hurt right now. Paul Skeens will be hurt at some point. You hope it's not one of these Tommy John season enders. Bailey Falter, hurt right now. Martin Perez already got hurt. Marco Gonzalez has been hurt. Quinn Priester went on the IL. Pitchers get hurt. And so if you don't go into a season thinking, oh, we've got Skeens, we've got Jones, we've got the makings of a potentially good rotation that when you obviously go into the year and it's going to be healthy, if you're not trying to make good on it whenever you've got the health, like there's no guarantee. They could spend $50 million this offseason, bump it up by $15 million, and next season, everyone in the NL Central could get better.
Right.
Anyone in the NL can get better, and you have no guarantee that the strength of your team is going to stay intact. And it's very frustrating. I look at what the Cubs did, and they're the Cubs, and it's Chicago, and they get butts in seats, and they spend money to different market. I get it. But they spend $27 million on a Cody Bellinger. Man, if you don't sign Chapman, if you don't sign Rowdy Tellez, there's 11. If you don't sign Martin Perez, there's $20 million wrapped up in those three. You could go out and try to sign a guy like a Cody Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a move that helps you win. And if you don't, you could trade that guy. Like, you can try to win, and then those guys could be offloaded, and that's someone with legitimate value that might bring you three, four, five players, two or three of whom might be major league ready. We're going to spend a lot of time as we lead up to the trade deadline, and we have talking about what they can do. But I think you really crystallized it, man. Like, the folly of when you look at this team and what they could be versus where they are really was they screwed it up in the offseason.
Yes.
And it's very frustrating.
It very.
412-928-9370. It's a good baseball talk right there. That's the text line brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. I know that that was a fairly negative and a realistic look at this whole deal, situation, conversation we just had. Hey, man, you got Skeens on the mound today. You got a chance with your guy, maybe the All-Star Game starter, to win a series in Milwaukee, and then you take on one of the worst teams in baseball in the final series. You've got a shot here. Maybe take 3 out of 4. Maybe better than that. Let's talk about that a little bit coming up next. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Will the Pirates ever win 3 games in a row again? Yes or no? That's the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. Real quick before we get into Skeens Day, you see that the United States Soccer Federation fired a coach.
I did see that.
A lot of people seem to be very excited about this.
Yeah. I don't really follow it, so I was just like, eh.
I will watch.
Was he good? Was he a good coach?
No.
Oh, he wasn't?
According to everyone, no, not a good coach.
Callis shook his head quick.
Wow. Callis, I didn't know you had United States soccer opinions. Are you a U.S. soccer guy?
I'm not a huge fan. My friends were soccer players when I was growing up, so I know a little bit.
Well, who didn't have soccer friends? I mean, everyone plays soccer, and we still suck. That's the thing.
Right.
Let's fire the coach. We ain't won jack forever.
I'm
sure it's the coach's fault, and not the fact that we're not a soccer country.
Well, we talked about it in 2022 a little bit on the station because they had a disappointing finish in the World Cup, and the Copa America, the big tournament. It's the biggest tournament before the World Cup in 2026.
Yeah.
The U.S. is hosting. They lost in what is like the first round.
They didn't make it out of the group stage.
The group stage. Round robin, you know, second, whatever, you know, that first part. So, and that's the biggest tournament before the World Cup that they're going to host. Very embarrassing, pretty much.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is because there was such an outcry to get this guy canned. And then there was such a celebration I saw on social media yesterday because this guy got canned. And I understand if you really care about something, like a lot of these United States soccer fans seemingly do, you want You want to strive for something more. And you've got the World Cup coming here in 2026. But it's never going
to
happen.
I saw he was like hired to like fix the team and create this new
culture.
Yeah,
it's just never
really
going
to
happen.
You know, thrust them into better success. And he's
I'm just calling it like I see it. Like, it's just, we're the United States. We're going to go and we're going to kick ass in the Olympics and basketball. Like, the women's soccer team, pretty good. The men, like, I don't know.
All the best athletes play other sports.
That is what it is,
and
right?
In every other country, you don't have football, really.
Yeah.
You know.
That's got to be what it is.
It is.
Like, I guess Canada's playing soccer well, and they made it to the Final Four.
But think if, like, Tyreek Hill and, like, LeBron and all those guys played soccer.
You know what, man? The soccer people poo-poo that. That is what it is.
Yes.
It's 100. Athleticism, if nurtured correctly, like, if you grew up your whole life, you, and you said, I want to play baseball, you'd have a good shot of being a really, really, really good baseball player because you are a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best that this state has ever seen. If you wanted to play soccer and you were like a goalie at 6'2",
right,
with your jumping ability and your athleticism, like, it, to me, it's pretty simple. But all the soccer people will push back. Nah, it's the coach. It's the coach's fault.
No.
And we've got more talent, I guess, than ever before. I don't know why I did this soccer segment. It's just something that caught my eye, like, as I was walking in here.
Because you're basically saying that it's not the coach. It's because
it's the culture.
Yeah, never have a chance.
Yeah. Like, now, you want to give yourself a better chance with, this is supposed to be the golden age, I guess, of United States soccer. But, like, I heard in Pat, like, Alexi Lawless or one of these analysts on Fox say, all of our best players, United States, are playing overseas now for the first time ever. Like, they're all on big clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also said there would not be one starter from our team on, like, Belgium.
Right.
So, like, golden age maybe for us, but, like, come on. So, anyhow, I wanted to make fun of soccer fans. And I root for the team. I watch the team. I watch the Copa America stuff. I did.
Yeah, we all root for America. Root for the team. I mean, but realistically, like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like...
It's like firing Derek Shelton last year.
It's like Georgetown creating a football team.
Yes. Like, what do you expect?
You're going to lose.
Yeah. You're not going to get good players.
Right.
Like, what's the best you can hope for? And I suppose that's what they're kind of saying is, like, let's achieve at least the maximum, which is let's get out of a group stage at Copa America or something. But, folks, like, it ain't going to get much better. And maybe I'm speaking out of my butt and out of ignorance, but, like, come on now, like... You got to understand where we are.
Like, who's the best player on the United States team?
Pulisic,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He can run.
But other than that?
But again, like, he's not one of the best players overseas.
He ain't Messi.
Right, like, not even close.
He's not, what's his name? Good-looking dude.
He's not Harry Kane, either. Harry Kane. He's the striker for England.
For England.
Is that a bad accent, Callis? Give me a British accent, if you would.
By Jove, I think you've cracked the code, Governor.
That was horrible.
By Jove.
I didn't say it was going to be good. He just said try.
His was 1,000 times better.
You know what? In a talent show one year, I played James Corden for like an act. Like a transition act.
Can I say something without you getting mad?
Don't.
I think it's more of an appearance thing than a ability to do a British accent thing.
Did I say it was because I had a good British accent? No, it was exactly because I looked more like him.
By Jove! Do you got one? You got a British accent?
Well, I you have to give me something to say, though. Like, I don't...
No,
I can't,
you know,
just,
what? I didn't get something to say, and you judged me. Say something.
I didn't get something to say.
Oh, okay.
That's not that bad.
No,
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens on
not
the bump.
Bad. Paul Skeens on the mound.
I wanted to talk about Skeens this segment, and then I accidentally hijacked it to United States men's soccer. I think, click, 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 people turn their radios up.
Ronaldo, that's who I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Yeah, the hot guy.
Yeah.
There is something about an accent that if I had a British accent and I wore slightly better clothes and I was out at the clubs and I was single at Dewey, I'd have women all over me just because of the accent.
Yes, you would. But would you have women all over you with all what you just said in your respected country of your accent?
No. If I came from England to the United States with an accent and I had a reasonable sense of style, I would kill it. And if I went back home, I'd just fold back in and I'd be like a London 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right. With better teeth. because they don't do that, I don't think, super well over there.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They eat fish and chips.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul Skeens on the bump for the Buccos today. By Jove.
By Jove.
We'll talk about that next. What this start might mean for the Buccos and for him personally. Ah, crap. I'm taking the bait here, Doran.
What happened?
Our cohort from Cleveland. Great guy. Kenneth Carman. I guess the local baseball club must have lost for them last night or something.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted out, last night was bad, but Miles Garrett's peers voted him as a way better pass rusher than TJ Watt. Garrett also has more playoff wins than Watt.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Stop it.
Don't do it. Not worth it. Not worth it.
If you want to take quarterback playoff wins into account, coach playoff wins into account, I can see it. I can see it. I don't think, look at Watt and say that the guy's not an all-time great when it's all said and done if the team's not having playoff success. Like, I don't know that I could do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair. I just do. Because the only good moment in a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago was a touchdown that TJ Watt scored. Like, it wasn't his fault they lost. I can't. He got me. He got me.
Bam. I can't believe that you just fell into that.
I thought that was the point. He's trying to piss off Pittsburgh.
He beat me. He did.
You're echoing the voice there.
How many playoff wins do they have underneath Miles Garrett, and do they have in the last 20 years?
They have. The answer is the same for both.
Exactly.
And it's one.
Right.
But nice. The one was against the Steelers. COVID doesn't count. Asterisk. There were no fans in Heinz Field.
You're still not making it any better for yourself.
I know. I got to stop. It's bait. Today, Paul Skeens, 210, on the mound for the Bucks against Aaron Civale. Now, Pirates fans will remember Aaron Civale because he pitched 5 innings and gave up just 1 earned run against them back when he was at Tampa Bay Ray. The Brewers needed pitching depth, so they swung a trade recently with Tampa for this guy. He sucks. And Paul Skeens decidedly does not suck. And if you can win this game, last night ugly, fine, we understand, nasty. If you can win this game, you take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, you even up the season series, I believe, with the Brewers. And then you've got a series against the Chicago White Sox. Even with the loss yesterday, you're still only 3 games back in the wild card. You didn't lose a spot there. Sneaky big game for the Bucks today, Doran.
Sneaky big game, but you know what's going to happen.
Don't do it.
You know exactly what's going to happen. Paul Skeens is going to go probably 7 innings. It's probably going to be, you know, they're going to be winning 2-1. The Pirates are. And whenever he walks off the mound, the Pirates will end up losing 3-2. That's what will happen. It'll be right in the middle of the first game and the last game. Right in the middle there. And you'll waste a Paul Skeens start. That's what's going to happen. So we already know that's going to happen. I mean, it's literally flashing in front of our faces.
You did call yesterday's performance, too. Hey, everybody, you're super excited about 12 runs in Milwaukee. Well, wait till the shutout tomorrow.
Yes.
And it wasn't even like, well, they scored 3 runs and lost 9-3. No. 12 and then 0.
0.
12 and then zilch.
So they're going to just find it today? No. They find a little bit.
What would Skeens do against the Pirates lineup? He'd carve them up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Skeens hasn't had the luxury of pitching against the Buccos this year. I think we did the hypothetical way back when. Skeens and the Indy Indians against the Bucks and, like, I don't know, Bailey Falter. Who you got? I think we got Indy.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? The Pirates on the road against Milwaukee, a team that's 15 games over 500. In a place where they've had just no success historically. Buccos are favored today.
Are they really?
Minus 125 on the run line.
That makes sense.
It does make sense, but that just tells you how good this guy is. And so it's important for them. Because again, you win today, you take 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee, you can start feeling pretty good. And then you're going to take 2 out of 3, please, against the Sox. This is also huge for him personally. If he goes out there and it's his first not great start, he goes 6 innings, gives up 4 runs, and his ERA gets up into that 2.55, 2.6 range, he's probably not going to start the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes out tonight and goes seven innings, a one-run ball or something like that, he's only going to crystallize himself as probably the favorite to start that game.
Yeah.
Which would be huge.
Yeah.
I really want to see that, man.
Me too. I think it's definitely warranted. I don't see him. I think tonight he's going to be as consistent as he has been. I don't think it's going to be anything drastic. I don't think he kind of reverts backwards in any. But the team, I don't think, is going to have enough to win.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine, though.
That's just the way it's been.
Yeah.
And you win game one of the series, and it's like, okay, now you got to win two out of three, or you've got a chance to win two out of three. You got Skeens going on the final day. Like yesterday's game, you feel like, okay, like you got two chances to win the series. And yesterday looks as bad as it does. And how many times does that happen? Like against the Giants, you win game one of that series, then you've got Jones and Skeens, or Skeens and Jones, whatever it was, how it fell. And you're thinking, okay, you've definitely got a chance to win two out of three, and then it doesn't happen. It seems like everything you think is going to happen with this team doesn't. And so now we've got a pretty good beat on what they are.
Yep.
And there could be a scenario, man, where this team finishes like four or five games under and Skeens wins the Cy Young.
Yes.
Which, that hurts my soul. You could have the best pitcher in the National League. Nay, you might have the best pitcher in all of baseball when it's all said and done at the end of the year, and waste it. Like, waste it. He makes it makes them worth watching every fifth or sixth day. Like, there's no doubt. And the numbers are huge. And Craig will point out our stream numbers and the number of people who tune into the radio broadcast when this guy pitches. And then...
nothing to show for.
Nothing. Because you consider him in a short series.
I wonder how frustrated he is. Because, I mean, he's a very in-tune athlete, and he prepares. You've obviously seen his regimen, and he has been dominating in just a short fashion, at least up in the major leagues. I mean, he's been dominating for a while, like just in general. I wonder if he gets frustrated. I would say yes.
Has to
get frustrated.
He's never left a game trailing. Not once. And in his debut where he pitched, it was his worst start, and he still pitched pretty good. His numbers got skewed because his teammates couldn't get it done. That's got to be super frustrating to him. And you're right. When you are the best and your team is decidedly not, I think he's one of those guys. We had this conversation off the air. You watched the show Wide Receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about what a cool guy and hard worker Justin Jefferson seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were actually talking about Davante Adams.
Davante, yeah.
Yeah, it was Davante Adams, where he's like, I can have five touchdowns. If we lose, I'm pissed off.
Right.
I think Skeens is in that boat.
Yes.
Like, I can't see him being satisfied with seven innings, one earned run, nine strikeouts, and the team gets the L. I just can't. Not with his background, not being a military guy, not being a competitor. And it's very reminiscent of what was happening with the Mets in their starting rotation a couple of years ago when they had the Dark Knight, when they had Thor, when they had what's-his-face. Good analysis by me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in seemingly every game. And the Pirates, you know, saved last night and a few here and there. They're in every game. This is the worst place to be as a Pirates fan because you are so desperate to hang on to any type of contention, and they're just three games back, and most games are competitive, and you're watching it in the ninth inning, and the Mets game the other day, and Aroldis Chapman blows it. It's so frustrating because they're right there.
I think Pirates fans are almost at this point past hanging on to a player. Like, they want to hang on to Skeens, I get it, but they also want to hang on to the team and actually wins and losses right now. Back, you know, I mean, the last 20 years, you were hanging on to one player.
Giles.
Giles or McCutcheon or Kendall, because you knew the team wasn't going to be good. And now you're flirting. This team is like flirting with and I think the people in their minds are like, yeah, we love to see Skeens and Reynolds in the All-Star game, but we also want to see some wins too, because we feel like that they're right there. And I feel like a lot of people are past the whole, oh, we have this guy, so we're going to go to the ballpark to watch this guy. Who cares about if the team loses or wins?
It's a novelty act at that point. Like, oh yeah, let's go watch Skeens. Not let's go watch the Bucks who are in contention.
Right.
And it would be so nice if you would want to, hey, oh, let's buy tickets to a game. Maybe it's a skiing start, but if not, oh, we'll get to, they might, their falters on the mound. They could win.
They could win.
This is a good team. Right. Oh, Jared Jones on the mound. That's frustrating. Anyhow, the landscape of the way we consume professional sports is shifting underneath our feet. And you better get used to it. And we had a new deal that is in the works that I think was crystallized. We'll talk about that coming up next in the way that we're doing things and how that might change. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Newest Pirates trade rumor coming up in about 10 minutes. But how about this? You like when I do that, Doran. How about this?
How about this?
How about this? The NBA and network executives finalized contracts that will make NBC and Amazon Prime Video new partners while maintaining ABC ESPN as the home of the NBA Finals under agreements that will extend for 11 seasons and be worth $76 billion.
Jeez.
This is according to executives with direct knowledge of the deals. This needs to be approved, but that portion of it, the Board of Governors, it seems like a formality. And the gist of this is there's going to be Tuesday night games on Peacock. There's going to be games on Amazon Prime. And what the NBA is trying to do here is go a little NFL style, where they're going to try to claim as many days and put primetime live sports programming as they possibly can. And I wonder how this lands on people. You know, I don't know here in town, NBA, that moves the needle necessarily. For a lot of people, it does in town, but not so much as like in other places or like in Cleveland, for example, where they've got a team. But this is the way it's going for everything.
Yeah.
And you better not rail against it. You better just buckle up and accept it. Because some of the best games in any sport that you want to watch, like you had L.A. Dodgers against the Yankees on Apple TV the other day. If you want the best games, you're going to have to wind up shelling out extra cash. And it sucks, but that's the way it is now, man.
Isn't the Steelers game on Christmas on like Netflix or something?
Yes, it is.
So
now I do think locally those games will still, they get bid on, my understanding is.
Yeah, but it's Christmas. I mean, for a day like that, and you're not even a Steeler fan, but you're going to want to watch football, you're going to have a Netflix subscription to watch Kansas City Chiefs, I guess, right? Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs play the Steelers.
Yeah, and you can't really cheat the system anymore with Netflix.
No.
You need multiple subscriptions. Like, it used to be you could have a bunch of people watching and sharing the same Netflix accounts, and they got wise to it, as is their right, and I understand that. They're in a business of making money. But you're right about that. You want to watch the best games on holidays, and you're going to need a subscription to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that sucks. It really sucks from a disposable income standpoint. People pour a lot of their hard-earned money into how they want to consume sports and jersey sales and merchandise and all of that. And now, add another thing to the list. It sucks.
Mean, you think about holidays, and it's funny, but it's not funny at the same time. Like, there's a lot of people who go to their grandparents' house on holidays and Christmas, that their grandparents aren't going to have Netflix. So what do you do? Like, I mean, it's funny, but like at the same time, it's like, oh, we have to have dinner at, you know, Grandma Mary's house. The Steeler game's on at 4. I'm not going to be able to watch the Steeler game.
Yeah.
I have to watch it on my phone. I have to sit there. But because Grandma doesn't have Netflix, I have to download it. You have to do all these different things. Like,
Grandma's still got the bunny ears on top.
Right.
I had a solution one Thanksgiving because we had it at the Green Tree Fire Hall. Great place. And they have a projector screen there. So what I did is I brought one of those, the little sticks that you plug into. Like,
yeah, like a fire stick.
Yeah. So, and I casted the game from my computer. Not the Steeler game, but they were, you know, the games on Thanksgiving, cast them onto that device.
But you have to get the stick.
Yeah, and but you have to have a TV that's compatible, and Granny might not.
You'd be surprised that even my grandpa has a.
But now we're talking about.
Look at all you had to do just to watch a game.
Exactly.
You had to do all that just to watch a game.
It was a fun process for me.
And here,
that's you. Be quiet.
But here's the other thing, though. Like, I don't begrudge the NBA. I don't begrudge the NHL. I don't begrudge any of these sports leagues, college football. They're in the business of making money. They are. It's why you're going to expand the NCAA tournament. It's why they expand the college football playoff. It's all for money. And understand. But as we're seeing with this lawsuit going on with the NFL, it's never, ever been about the fan.
No.
It's never, ever been about accessibility. And with the NFL in particular, we are talking about a behemoth that makes money hand over fist, and we all will do whatever they want. They say jump, we say how high. Not before in the history of humanity has there been something that everyone wants that could give less crap about the people who are demanding that product.
Yeah.
Than the NFL, and we're seeing it with the NBA. The NBA ratings haven't been actually super high the last year or so. And yet they 11 years, $76 billion. I don't know what's going to happen. I think one day we're going to see the Super Bowl on pay-per-view or something like that.
Yep.
And you're going to have to pull together, and it's going to be
one of these streams.
Bucks.
They're going to bid. And it's going to be Peacock, it's going to be Amazon Prime, it's going to be Netflix, it's going to be HBO Max, and they're going to do a bidding process as they do for like the Sunday night games and the networks. And it's going to be like, all right, who gets the Super Bowl? Charge $60. Bang.
Yep.
I mean, that's right around the corner.
It is. I heard John Skipper, the former CEO of ESPN, I brought this up before, said that they had discussed it, not like formally, but they had discussed that it's just a fait accompli. Okay. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And you see how well these UFC fights do, and we're not even talking about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. So it's all going that way. And I just said, well, we don't need to bitch against it. You might as well accept it. Well, we can do a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B because it's tough. And I know, like we've talked about this, the process of cord cutting and getting away from cable, like as a cost-saving measure, because there's so many stations you don't watch. When it's all said and done, you wind up spending more than with cable.
Yes.
Because you got to put it all together.
Yes.
ESPN Plus and...
But Fubo.
Fubo.
Like I had to watch Fubo. I have YouTube TV, but I had to get Fubo just so I could watch AT&T or, I mean, in Sportsnet.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have that app, so I mean, I still have to pay for an app on top of YouTube TV because I need like regular TV stations.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
They got us.
They got us. And there's nothing we can do about it. And I mean, guess you can go to a bar. When I ain't going to a bar and you're spending money at the bar. I don't want to spend $10 a month for ESPN Plus to watch the games I want to watch. I'm going to go to a bar instead. Well, what do you think you're going to do there? You're going to wind up spending money on beer, on food.
Chicken wings, yes.
You know what? It stimulates the economy. Good on you, NFL.
Uh-huh.
Way to go, NBA. Coming up next, the newest Pittsburgh Pirates trade rumor. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions apply at sunchevy.com.